I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I am Greg Kot. My co-host is Jim DeRogatis. And if you want to be the first to hear our bonus podcast, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon, like Lee Chrisman. Lee, thank you so much for your support of the show. It means a lot to us. As you know, Jim and I, we are crammed full of music that we can't wait to bring out to the world, play some of our favorites. A Desert Island Jukebox bonus podcast is among our very favorites. We get to plug a quarter in that jukebox. We keep it cheap. Only a quarter per song, but the song is going to be worth millions of dollars to you from a personal standpoint. Jim, I'm really putting the pressure on you to live up to that.
You're waxing rhapsodic in a nonsensible way almost there.
Well, give me a hint of what you want to play.
Well, I've got to pay tribute to a singer who recently passed. No Chicago connection, except I saw him here many times, but the band was named for a famous Ditkaism.
Okay, I think I know where you're going here, but can't wait to hear what you got to say about it. We're going to be back with that in a minute on Sound Opinions. All right, Jim, we are back. What song are you going to add to the Desert Island Jukebox today?
Well, I'm not going to play either of the two super famous hits that one would think of when they think of Smash Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked Smash Mouth, okay?
I know you did.
I said named
you
for
it. You were very vocal about
I was vocal.
Loving them early on.
Well, one of our first producers, Matt Spiegel, and you gave me endless grief for liking Smash Mouth. And I am unrepentant in liking Smash Mouth. You know, that period in the 90s, early 90s, they formed in 94 in California, San Jose, and took the name from Mike Ditka, you know, the Bears coach, what he called, you got to play Smash Mouth football, right? You know, there was an everyman sort of garage rock, a little bit of ska punk meets mainstream pop attitude and approach and philosophy to this band. And those hits that I'm talking about, All Star, huge, huge, huge hit, Walking on the Sun, even bigger hit, right? And then they're on the Shrek soundtrack with their cover of I'm a Believer. I love the way at this point in time when there was this now absurd and ridiculous, it was ridiculous then, but it even seems more so in retrospect, debate about rockism, you know, bands with guitars, versus popism, Britney Spears and NSYNC, right? And I was like, man, you know, rock can be pop, pop can be rock. We often play songs on the show. We just recorded a list show recently. We're playing Juice Newton, right? Mm-hmm. It's not rock, it's pop. It's pop music, but it's brilliant, right? And it belonged on the same show with Joni Mitchell. We always ignored those artificial boundaries. I don't know what your problem with Smash Mouth was. Were they pop? Were they quote-unquote sellouts? They were mooks from San Jose. Lester Banks had written a century, it seemed like, earlier about the psychotic reaction, the Count Five, right? You know, with their hit Psychotic Reaction. He called them zit farmers from San Jose. So Steve Harwell is a zit farmer from San Jose who steps in it and gets lucky with these kind of garagey roots becoming super pop famous and loving every minute of it. When I talked to him shortly before album number 3 came out, I said, man, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but I just saw you on the MTV Video Music Awards sandwiched between Britney Spears and Madonna, but you look like you just got off work at the garage. And he said, man, what a compliment. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We started out as a punk rock band. I didn't really intend for any of this to happen, but, you know, I'm going to enjoy it. I remember a show at the Riviera where Smash Mouth was playing, and Harwell jumped off the stage and ran to the back bar at the very back of this 1,200-seat theater and had two trays of a dozen shots, one in each hand. And as he went down the aisle, anybody who reached out got a free shot from Steve, and then he hops up back on stage in time to pick up the chorus. You scoffed, and I know you did, when I said garage rock roots. But I'm going to play a song that was a minor hit for them, which is a cover, right? Originally, it was a hit for the Four Seasons, a minor hit. But believe it or not, the big hit came in 67 for Question Mark and the Mysterians. Mm-hmm. Can't Get Enough of You, Baby. Considered, because it winds up on those Nuggets-like compilations, one of the archetypal garage punk songs of the mid-60s, like I mentioned earlier, the Count Five, right? And what Smash Mouth did was they cleaned it up a little bit. They brought a certain exuberance to it and had a pop hit with it. And I say good for them. You know, Harwell also told me, why do I care about MTV? I mean, that's where the bar is set. They're going to let me on MTV. Great. I'm happy to be there. If not, I'll keep playing punk rock dives. I don't care. I just love making music. Sad life, man. You know, he died September 4th at the age of 56. He had been suffering from liver failure. He had a neurological disorder that occasionally caused him blurred speech and problematic outbursts. He had a heart condition. He actually was in hospice before he passed. A sad end and some controversy at the end of his life, bad-mouthing people who wore masks at the height of the pandemic. I prefer to remember the guy handing out shots and the guy who sang on Can't Get Enough of You, Baby.
Can't get enough of you, baby. I can't get enough of you, baby. Yes, it's true. Baby, yes, it's true. Whenever we kiss, I get a feeling like this. I get a wishing that there were two of you.
Smash Mouth, Can't Get Enough of You, Baby, in tribute to Steve Harwell.
I'm glad you played that song, because I really like that song. It wasn't the original version. I think Question Mark also did a cover. It was
Mark covered. It was a Four Seasons song.
Right, right. Yeah. But I like their version of it. I the reason I expressed enmity towards Smash Mouth back in the day, Walking on the Sun and All-Star just got worn out by radio.
But it wasn't their fault.
Oh, I know it wasn't their fault, but I'm going to have to blame it on somebody because I just got tired of hearing those songs.
Yeah, but even then, would you have preferred to hear Smash Mouth or Limp Bizkit?
Well, you know, come on.
That's
like asking.
Those were dire, dreadful days. Well, you know, but she's got a mic in front of her, and it's the bonus podcast, so we don't have to worry about editing these things.
Right.
We can ramble as we... So Alex had sent a note and said, you know, how do we want to deal with the death of Steve Harwell? It was a band that meant a lot to me. Alex completely shocked that they meant anything to me, right? But what did they mean to you, Smash Mouth, Alex Claiborne, our producer?
So Smash Mouth is a band that came out at the perfect time for me, which was they became very popular when I was in elementary school, which is the perfect time to enjoy Smash Mouth. I remember seeing Shrek in the movie theater, and that was the first time that I had ever heard Hallelujah, and it was the John Cale version in the film, and then the Rufus Wainwright version on the soundtrack. But I remember listening to them and being like, this is an all-star, of course, was the biggest hit in the world.
Yeah.
But I liked the positivity, the silliness, the funniness. Like, they never took themselves too seriously, which I appreciated, because I feel like a lot of those bands of the era, although maybe they were doing silly things, they still were extremely serious. And I did feel like they did a good job of keeping things in perspective. And like you said, Jim, like, you know, Steve Harwell talking about, like, I'm just happy to be here. Like, I don't need to be doing this, but I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to apologize for, you know, being successful in this way when it's not like this is my primary goal. I just like to make music. So I think that was very present in their discography. And, you know, obviously they kind of faded away, but you know,
yeah,
if you hear
there
the song
were many
All-Star,
more albums after, you know, I was talking to Harwell as album number 3 was coming out, and then the decline starts, and I think there were like 12 overall. It was like, you know, Smash Mouth had its moment, and it was like 2.5 albums, and it lasted longer than many moments at that period did, and I don't think it bothered him. It's like, all right, this was great.
It didn't hurt anybody. I think that was the biggest thing, is that sometimes I think there's a narrative, especially about bands in like the late 90s and the early 2000s and sort of the new metal era, and that, like, is this negatively influencing people? And there's been a lot of discussions years later about Woodstock 99 and kind of the chaos and the like borderline maybe anger or, you know, indignance. And with Smash Mouth, it was like, what you see is what you get. It's right there. It's simple yet joyous, funny, you know. And I was, like I said, it was the perfect age to really embrace that. So although it's Smash Mouth was for all ages.
We will thank Steve Harwell for sending you on the path that leads you to waste your life with Sound Opinions.
That's right. Like, look what happened.
Yeah. As always, Sound Opinions is produced by Alex Claiborne, Andrew Gill, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott, and our new Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam.